Amen. So we want to welcome you if you're watching online. I don't know about you, but I love God's Word. Amen. I really do. I remember once years ago, it was about 25 years ago, saying, God, I want to hear your audible voice. Would you? How many of you would like to hear the audible voice of God? Read your Bible out loud. You're all great, and that's not really the voice of God. Watch out, it is. Come on, if we ever buy into the idea that if Jesus suddenly materialized, walked through the wall and said, Matt, it is great to see you, you know, that wouldn't be more the voice of God than any little kid in kids' church right now opening this book and reading it. This is God speaking to us. And I know my whole life got changed. It really, there's like a before and an after in my life. There's a before and an after when I got born again. There's a before and an after when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But in some ways, one of the greatest, I remember the day in about 1987 when I suddenly realized this is God. This is not a book about God. This is God. I can step off a cliff edge. Don't try this at home. I mean, I can put everything in God's Word. God and His Word are one. God cannot fail His Word. He's never, ever failed His Word once in the history of the universe. He's exalted His Word above His name. If He doesn't keep His Word, His name is nothing. And that faith isn't difficult. Faith is, it's all about how much time do you spend living in this and having this live in you. Hallelujah. And from that day, I became a faith person. I don't think I'd ever heard any faith teaching. I'd look it up occasionally. Oh, they get it. They get it. I can smell faith. I do. If I hear somebody praying, there's faith. Yeah. It's one thing when somebody's praying, begging God to do something, begging, please, if only God, you do this and do this. And something else happens when somebody has caught that reality. Lord, you've given your word. Come on, you've given your word. And God has, I tell you, God, I want to keep saying that God has never failed anybody. Never. Don't blame yourself. Don't blame other people. Sometimes you just got to say, God, I don't know why this happened or didn't happen, whatever, but it's not you. You are a God who keeps your word. Amen. Hey, in a moment, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. But I encourage you to have that kind of relationship, that revelation of the Bible, that revelation of God's word. Your whole life will change when you do. Suddenly getting your prayers answered are easy. Because you're not trying to talk God into doing something. You're simply taking God at His word. Come on, if I came today and gave you a check for $100, I'm not really, it was just an example. If I came, and what is a check? It's a piece of paper with a promise on it. I define the number and I sign my name to that promissory note. You know, in the old days, people would literally write a letter like a promissory note. You know, I promise, I put my integrity behind this and I give you this. That's what the Bible is. Thank you, dear. Hey, we'll just use the one if we need to, guys. That's okay. Come on. And we're in a series where we've been talking about the Spirit-filled life. And what I want to do for the next few weeks is talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Does that interest you? Yes. So possibly you're in the room and you're like, what are those? That's okay. You're in the right place. Possibly you're here and you're saying, well, I know everything about those. No, you don't. But I actually, one thing that's a real revelation to me is that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And no matter how much we've heard about something before, the danger is, in the world, we can learn something and we think we've got it by having intellectual knowledge. Faith doesn't reside in your head as knowledge. It resides in your heart. And we all need to keep hearing God's word about certain things for us to have faith. And the way, come on, I want to see more of the gifts of the Spirit flow inside this church and outside of this church. at times I'm frustrated, not at you guys, but you know, I'm, God, how can I help? How can I facilitate that more? How can we see you move more in power in our generation? I was praying about that a few weeks ago. The Lord told me, Graham, you need to teach more upon it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I said this, I think, a few weeks ago, but I was once in a pastor's meeting, and all these pastors were complaining that nobody gives in their church. And they were all going around, it's the same in mine, the same. And when it came to me, I smiled and said, guess whose fault that is? It went down well. They never invited me back. But I actually said to them, and if you think about it, what I said to them is, I'll never take an offering without spending 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes teaching God's word. And you may not catch this, but when I'm doing that before the offering, I'm not trying to get you to give in that offering. I'm trying to sow God's word in you. And what I know is, if you don't shut down, God's word will do its work in your heart, because it did in me. And faith will come for that. Faith always comes when we hear the word of God. So it's not my job. I don't need to get people to give. I just need to get people to hear the word and let the word do the work. And I just want you to look at the gifts of the Spirit in that same way. I want to spend the next at least 3 weeks talking about this. And I believe God wants faith to arise in our heart for the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah. So I want to try and just cover some basics today. So forgive me if you do know some of these things, but it's always good to have them heard again. Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And over the next few weeks, we're literally going to go through all of those. They're all about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. 1 Corinthians 12, let me read the first couple of verses. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be ignorant. You know that you were once Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that nobody speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings, plural, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But it's one and the same Spirit who works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Glory. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Come on, let's go back to the beginning. What are spiritual gifts? Does anybody have a King James Bible here today? Great. I grew up reading the King James, and then I got set free from these and thou, so... But I actually really love it. So I read the New King James. But if anybody looks in a King James or a New King James, the word gifts is in italics. It's italicized. Check it out. What that actually means, and don't be scared by this, it means it wasn't there in the original. It means the translators added that word to sort of make the text make sense in another language. And they weren't twisting scripture. Anybody who speaks two languages, we speak French, and at times to try to say something in one language to another, you might add a few more words or take a few away or say something that, you know, in French we'll often say something and add qualifiers, je t'aime bien, like different words that shape the meaning of a sentence. But that word gifts isn't even there in the original. Again, I'm going to call them spiritual gifts till the day I die. So I'm not trying to rewrite church thinking. But at times, words also shape how we think about things. So at times, what we've looked at is that word gifts. We think of Santa Claus. We think it's like Jesus came with a bag of gifts, and he gave one gift to Debbie. Boop. And he gave one gift to Laurie, and he missed Lee, and he gave, no, I'm kidding. And he gave a gift here, and Tanya didn't deserve, no, he gave two to Tanya, because, no, but at times we'll look and we'll go, oh, well, they've got that gift, and they've got that gift, and I don't know what my gift is, and can I suggest to you that's not the analogy Paul's making? There's only one gift we receive. He's called the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's the gift of God. The gift you received is a person called Holy Spirit. And again, I'm going to use the word gifts here, so don't worry about that. But I really want you to catch this. Literally, that text says, concerning spiritual things. I do not want you to be ignorant. The term Paul uses, in a way, is the manifestation of the Spirit. And rather than thinking, well, I got this gift and they got that gift, you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in a way, Paul is saying, here are nine different ways Holy Spirit acts and speaks and manifests himself. And rather than thinking, well, I've got the gift of prophecy, boom, it's mine. What we should be saying is, I have Holy Spirit in me. And every time I see a person who might be discouraged, despondent, lost, confused, God can, in the moment, give me like an anointing, if you will, a gift of prophecy for that person. If you're sick, I don't have the gift of healing. But if you're sick, Holy Spirit in me can release a gift of healing for you. I don't have the gift of knowledge where I can look at the stock market at 9:30 every Monday morning and go buy, sell, whatever. But anytime I was on the stage earlier playing, and I just looking at people and I start hearing God say, like, there's a need here because he loves people. Anytime you're in a situation, maybe in a counseling situation, and you don't know what to do, and you stop reaching out to your brain or some book you've read, and God, give me an answer. God has all the knowledge we need. So we don't own the gifts. He does. And the gifts are, I'm not saying there aren't other ways, but nine specific ways Holy Spirit wants to show up and show out inside the church, amen, but also outside of the church. And it's vital. Paul begins this passage by saying, concerning spiritual gifts, don't be ignorant. Can I lovingly suggest there are churches right now all over America who never talk about these gifts? There are churches all over America, if the Holy Spirit walked in with a green hat, they'd throw him out. And at times we've we'd like to be respectable. We don't like things we can't control. We don't like things we can't understand. And we have a supernatural God. And the church is a supernatural entity on the earth. And I think there are not, I want to say that lovingly, I'm not trying to critique any church, but God is not happy. I'm sure God is not happy with this church at times, so we're not perfect, but God is not happy with a church that comes and plays origami with the Bible. And twists it and rips pages out because they don't suit us. It's us who need to change to God's word. And it's so vital. I tell you, we are not preaching the gospel. In Romans 15, Paul says, I came down to Iconium. I won't read it for the sake of time. But he talks about, with mighty signs and wonders and gifts of the Spirit, I brought the Gentiles to obedience to the gospel. He says, I fully preached the gospel with signs and wonders. Do you know, we have not fully preached the gospel if we don't have the power of God. And I just want to say that even to anybody watching online, these things are not optional. Paul says, concerning spiritual gifts, don't be ignorant. It's not good that we are ignorant of these things. And for those of us who are leaders, if we're creating a church where people are ignorant of these things, you know, if we don't teach our children history, that's our problem, isn't it? How many of you know they will repeat it? Come on, children in America need to know the history of America. Except the bit about the Brits. Sometimes, you know, just like... Boston Massacre. These poor little soldiers surrounded by a crowded Nazi. Tea party. You know, throw the tea. Now go. Oh, glory. But come on, in the church, we've got to talk about these things. And I love it. Paul says, you were once Gentiles. He says, you're no longer Gentiles. You're part of that new creation, Jew and Gentile brought together, one new man. But he says, you were once Gentiles following dumb idols. Has anybody ever seen a dumb idol? Years ago, I was preaching in India, and I was staying with a pastor, and next to the pastor's house was an idol shop. And there was a little artisan, a workman who would make idols, and you could go in and pick up an idol. So one day I was feeling really mischievous, and I went into the idol shop. And I walked around looking at all these statues, you know, the elephant god and this god and the Shiva with the 20 hands and the... And this really helpful guy, the salesman, came out and tried to sell me a god. I mean, he could tell, you know, I was not from around there and probably had more money than the average bear in the place I was. And he's like, great. And he was like, are you looking for a god? I said, if it fits the bill, yes. And he showed me some of his words. He had some with batteries in that could speak. They weren't dumb until the ever-ready batteries ran out or something. I remember asking him, I said, do you have a God that speaks without batteries? I want a God that speaks, not a dumb idol. And he was like, no. And I said, do you have a God who heals people? No. I think Noah was about one at the time. I said, I've got a little baby daughter in France. Do you have a God who can give somebody a hug and tell them he loves them? The guy looked around his shelves and went, no. Then I asked him the really big one. I said, do you have a God that forgives sins? Because, like, I sort of need a savior. No. So I basically looked around these shelves and said, this is a useless load of wood, hay, and stubble. So I told him about my God. Come on, a God who's real. A God who we didn't make, but a God who made us. And come on, I know I'm reminding you of that today, but God is real. God wants to speak. God wants to show people he's real through his word, amen. But actually by confirming his word, God wants a church that can hear his voice and can move in his power. God wants a church where we can bring in the things of God everywhere we go. I remember once being in Ireland years ago. We took a team to Ireland about 10 years ago now. And one evening, I took them to a pub with a guitar. We're doing worship in a pub. And I went next door and ordered some pizza for our team. And when I went to collect the pizza, there's this guy, and he's rushed off his feet answering the phone. And I say, the pizza's ready. This guy opened the oven, and then he touched the oven with his hands and burnt his hand. And the guy shouted out loud, Jesus Christ, but not in a... You know what I mean? And it didn't occur to me. It just popped out of me. I've been worshiping all weekend in this car. I was like, isn't he brilliant? And the guy's looking at me. And suddenly I just grabbed this guy's hand, prayed for him, and God healed his hand. I think we got one pizza free. I don't know. It was good. Come on, God wants to show up and show out everywhere. And it's really important people in New England in 2023 know that we don't have a dumb God. We have a God who speaks. We have a God who heals. We have a God who knows things. And I want you to catch this. The gifts of the Spirit, please catch this, guys. I'm going to repeat this a few times in the next few weeks. But they're not rewards for perfection. They're not for the amazing, you know, perfect Christians. God will give you them on day one of your Christian life. The gifts. Paul writes in Galatians 3, verse 3 and verse 5, and he says, he who ministers the Spirit to you and works miracles amongst you, does he do it because you keep the law, or does he do it by the hearing of faith? Come on, does God flow his Spirit? Does he work miracles because we keep the law, or because we hear the message of faith? Come on, when we preach Jesus saves, Holy Spirit will start saving people. When we preach Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit, faith for the baptism in the Spirit comes. Hallelujah. Thank you. I won't embarrass the person, but somebody came to me last week and just said, I want to be filled with the Spirit, want to receive that gift of tongues. And I think we prayed for about 5 seconds. I was just like taking it and suddenly, boom, 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 you know, out it comes. And hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And God wants the gifts of the Spirit to be normal, not to be weird and wacky and wonderful, not to be for some TV evangelist, oh God bless them. It should be for kids, for businessmen, businesswomen, and house husbands, and you know, whatever. Just everyday life. It should be normal to see these things flow in our lives. So what are the gifts of the Spirit? The ways Holy Spirit manifests himself through us. Paul lists 9 of them here. You know, just for the sake of ease, the old Pentecostals used to talk about 3 categories of gifts. The spoken gifts, or the gifts of utterance, the revelatory or discernment gifts, and the gifts of power. The spoken gifts are tongues, interpretation, prophecy. The gifts of revelation, if you will, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, and the power gifts, gift of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings. So let me go through those 9 gifts really quickly. Come on, what is the gift of tongues? The gift of tongues is not you learning a foreign language. I went to France 30 years ago with a book, French in 3 months. 30 years later, I don't know. And I was so bad. I went around for about 6 months saying, hi, my name is Graham. Je m'appelle Graham. Je suis anglais. Which means, hello, my name is Graham. I am an English girl. Anglais, anglaise. Masculine, feminine. Hey, don't laugh. I think the French could teach America something about there's only 2. There's masculine and feminine. Just like, it's quite simple. Moving along. Hi, YouTube. We love you. Come on, I nearly got fired once. I worked in a restaurant at first, and somebody asked me where the bathrooms was, les toilettes. I thought they said les cigarettes. So somebody's asking me, where are the bathrooms? And they're about 2, it's about 2 miles away. There'll be one that's still open. It closes, it's, you know, the evening closes soon. So if you walk about 2 miles, and they're like, 2 miles is the nearest bathroom. And I'm, no. Here's my point. I learned to speak French with a book. God gives you a gift of languages, and it's a gift. And real quick, I think one of the biggest problems with Pentecostal charismatic people, it's not that they can't speak in tongues, it's they don't do it enough. I think we've got to do it more and more, be normal, and not be weird about it. I walk around Walmart speaking in tongues. I love my little Apple AirPods. I put this white thing in my ear, and people think I'm doing a phone call. It's great. I can walk around airports speaking, and everybody... In 20 years ago, people thought you were weird talking to yourself. Now everybody does it. But we should be pouring out. I tell you what happens when you speak in tongues? It's not coming from your brain, it's coming from your innermost being. What happens when you speak in tongues? You're praying the perfect will of God. Paul says at times, like in Romans 8, we don't know what to pray for, and we don't even know how to pray for what we don't know how to pray for, but the Spirit himself prays with us. Yeah. Somebody, and hi if you're watching, guys, did a great call with some folks from Canada the other day, and they were asking me, how do you deal with grief? You know, how do you walk through that thing of grief? Precious couple who, one of their children just went to heaven. And one of the things I was saying to them, you don't brush grief under the carpet, but bring your grief to Jesus and pray in the Spirit and pray out that. And what will happen is you can actually pray out that pain, that longing, that and just pray. There's healing when you pray in the Spirit. In the little epistle of Jude chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, it says, you beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit will keep your hearts in the love of God. Yeah. When you pray in the Spirit, you build up your faith and you keep your heart in the love of God. Well, I never feel God's love. Well, learn to start praying in the Spirit. Yeah, just get used to it. Your flesh will hate you praying in the Spirit. If I ever want to get productive, I start praying in the Spirit, and suddenly my mind is like, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this, got to walk my dog. She's already been walked. Got to feed. She's already been fed. Your flesh doesn't want you to do that because it's not in control. And sometimes you got to say, body, do as you're told. Boko shagarishki nana. You know, real quick, one of the dangers of praying in the Spirit is people say, I don't get anything out of it. You're not meant to get anything out of it. You're meant to put something in it. Paul says, if I pray in tongues, it's what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, spiritual gifts. Pray in tongues, but don't do it with love. It profits me nothing. Me. What happens when you pray in the Spirit with love? It profits you. So if you stand there in your room, you're just making noise, you're banging the cymbal. God is not impressed with you speaking in tongues. It's when you put your heart behind it. And suddenly, it benefits you, the prophet. So it's not the prophet, but the benefit, the prophet. Suddenly, it does something within you. Hallelujah. Guys, I'm not going to run out of time, but I don't want to spend too long on this. But, you know, I think there's whole areas of praying in the Spirit that we haven't realized. I remember years ago hearing an amazing man of God teach on the so much of the revelation Paul received, he received by praying in the Spirit and by interpreting. Oral Roberts used to teach on that in amazing ways. You know, we should be at times praying in the Spirit and then praying. The Bible says if we pray in the Spirit, our mind is unfruitful. But you can pray about something, about a situation in the Spirit that your Spirit knows, the Holy Spirit knows, and then pray that God will bring the fruitfulness to your mind. And that I've often in situations where it's like, I don't even know how to approach this. And I'll just start praying in the Spirit about that thing. And then I'll reach out by faith and receive that interpretation. And what I do, it's like I go away saying, I've got the interpretation. What is it? I don't know what it is, but I've got it. I've received it by faith. And what happens is God will bring fruitfulness to my mind. It's like these little flashes of inspiration. Oh, yeah. It's like the jigsaw pieces begin coming into place. Praying in tongues is glorious. Interpretation of tongues is glorious. Prophecy is glorious. One of my favorite gifts is the word of knowledge. I love the word of knowledge. If there's one way I know of breaking through people's unbelief, it's the gift of the word of knowledge. God can tell you something about somebody that you couldn't possibly know. Hallelujah. I love it when God uses the gifts of the Spirit just to break through. Years ago, probably about 18 years ago, I was in a church in Gales Ferry. Yeah, do you remember the school they used to rent there sometimes in Gales Ferry? So we're having a meeting on a Sunday evening in a high school. And I remember this lady had brought this guy to church and he didn't want to be there. We have a few this morning. No, I'm joking. I'm kidding. And this guy is there and he's like really unhappy. Why am I in a church thing on a Sunday evening? And this guy's listening to me preach and he's really not believing any of it and kind of grumbling all the time. And right in the middle of my message, God showed me a picture. And I saw a picture of, I thought it was a piano at first. And then the Lord said to me, it's a harpsichord. You know, those like old-fashioned pianos. And it's like I saw somebody looking at this harp thing. And all of the strings were frayed and broken and snapped and yucky. It was like it was great on the outside, all messed up on the inside. And then in this little picture in my head, it's like somebody slammed the thing saying, who'd want that old thing? So I stopped and I just gave out that word. I said, I see somebody looking at the inside of this harpsichord. I'm not even sure I know what that is, but like some piano type thing. And it looks beautiful, but it's all messed up and frayed and the strings are all, you know, messed up on the inside. And then you slam the cover and say, who'd want that old thing? This guy just broke down sobbing. And he came forward, right in the middle of my message, and he said, my wife and I went to an antique store today to buy a harpsichord. And everything you said happened. He said, it looked great. We were like, we're going to get this. Then we opened it, and it was just smashed and abused and whatever. And we both said, we don't want that old thing and walked out of there. Come on, God knows. And I think we should be expecting these things. So come on, tongues, interpretation, prophecy. A word of knowledge is a piece of God's knowledge. A word of wisdom is a piece of God's wisdom. The gift of discerning of spirits is not the gift of criticism. It's God showing you the origin of something spiritual. Through the gift of discerning of spirits, at times we see when the Holy Spirit's doing something. At times we see when Satan or demons are doing something. At times we'll see when angels are there in the room. It's the ability to discern what's going on in the spirit. The gift of faith, maybe that's my, all of the gifts are my favorite gifts. The gift of faith is when God comes and puts his faith on you. And it's like in a moment, for a little moment, you're emptied of doubt, or at least in some area of your, it's like God coming and saying, your faith isn't good enough. Catch his mind. And I love that. I've had that a few times where I'm struggling in my faith, and suddenly from out of my innermost being arises this faith, and suddenly we can do this. We've got this. We can do that. Yeah. I remember once, I think it was in Romania, I was there with Leah in the early 2000s, praying in an orphanage for a little orphan, and the foot was all like mangled and the bones out of joint or whatever. And it was like this mother brought this child forward. I'm holding this child with this kind of deformed foot, not like an accident, but birth thing. And I'm honest, my faith wasn't there. It's like I'm standing there looking at this mom, and I kind of know I can pray a great prayer, amen, and move on to the next one. But I also know my faith just, it's like my faith needed to get to 10 and it was at 2. I know intellectually God can do this. And I just didn't want to fake. I didn't want to pray some prayer that, you know, and it's like she gave me this child and I held this child. I remember looking up to God. I had nothing to say other than, like, help. Like, I can't do this. And it suddenly, I don't mean I heard God's voice. It's suddenly like God said, I can. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, have you noticed in the Old Testament, you'll see verses like, the hand of the Lord came on this person, on that person. There's a verse about Gideon in a Hebrew translation that says, God put Gideon on like a glove. It's like God came and put a Gideon glove on, and I'm holding this little child, and it's like, suddenly I'm going to help, and suddenly, it's like I heard myself speaking to the bones, be straight, everything came back. And this, you know, and it was in an orphanage we were in there. This little girl just began walking perfectly. I know that wasn't my faith, but it was the gift of faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, the gifts of healings. Jesus paid for our healing on the cross of Calvary, and all of us can come and stand in faith in the covenantal promises of God, what Bert was talking about there. But you know what, guys? When you're in Walmart tomorrow, I guess everybody's going to Walmart. Sandy, when you're in Walmart tomorrow, do you know if you go to somebody at the checkout, do they have checkouts in Walmart? come on, church. Can we pray about this? Here's my point. If you go to somebody who's not a Christian, and maybe you've got like a 30-second window to pray for them, that's not the place to go to them and say, here's some Bible verses, let me teach you, and you confess these and stand in faith or whatever. That's the place for signs and wonders. That's the place for the anointing to rise up and something to happen. The church is a place where by now we should be teachers, but we have need of milk. We've got to grow in our faith and come back to the Word. And I think God's best for mature believers is that we're seeing the gifts of the Spirit flow through us for others all the time, but we're not looking for a gift to meet our needs. We're coming to the Word. That's the ultimate. That's how Jesus lived. Jesus never had one miracle for himself. He lived by faith in the Word of God, and yet miracles flowed from him all the time. Come on, we're nearly done here, but how do we receive the gifts of the Spirit? Let me give you about four really quick keys. Promise you we'll be quick with this, but get hungry for them. Desire them. Well, if God wants to give me a gift, he'll give it to me. Forget it. Go watch Netflix. You know, get hungry for the things of God. Come to God, and I don't mean to be irreligious, I'm just British, but annoy him. Like, come to the Lord and pass, Lord, I want to do this. Lord, I want to do that. Lord, I want to see your power. Lord, I want to, Lord. Do you know God doesn't despise? God wants his people to do that. And the Bible says again and again, you know, desire spiritual gifts, desire to prophesy, desire God to use you. And we should come and bring our desire. Sometimes you're not feeling a desire, but you can choose. Desire will, the feeling of desire will follow the choice of desire 100% of the time. And you can come and by faith say, Lord, I desire, I want these things to be a part of my daily life. Come on, desire to do them. Number one. Number two, get around other people who are moving in these things. I used to travel a long way when I was young to be around people who moved in these things. I think God honors that. Paul wrote in Romans 1, he said to the Romans, I long to come and visit you guys that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts. You can receive the gifts of the Spirit by impartation. In a few moments when we close this service, we're going to pray for people and lay hands on people who want to move in the gifts. And you can receive the gifts by, you know, by learning from others, amen, but actually catching what they walk in. Come on, I spoke about Smith Wigglesworth that week, about this Episcopalian goes to Azusa Street, brings back the baptism of the Spirit. Smith Wigglesworth comes up and catches it. In the kingdom, things are taught, but also caught. Come on, we learn the gifts of the Spirit by growing our faith for them. What does that look like? I want to encourage you, if you want to move in the gifts of the Spirit, begin developing your faith for that. Every day, begin saying things like, God is in me. When I lay my hands on the sick, I don't catch what they've got. They catch what I've got. God flows through me. When I'm in a sick, I can, you know, I meet Christians all the time who say, I never hear God, I never hear God. God never speaks to me, I never hear God, I never hear God. The same people come and say, the devil said this, the devil said that. Let's start saying, I hear God. I'm his sheep, bah, I hear his voice. God speaks to me. Sure, can I mess it up? Yeah, but I hear God's voice. Hallelujah. That's what faith looks like. Not because you feel it, but because you take the Bible and say, this is true. God will speak to you in the measure of your believing that he's speaking to you. I have more faith in God's ability to speak to me than I do in Satan's ability to mislead me or in my ability to mishear. God is bigger than me or Satan. Yeah. But that doesn't happen overnight. We've got to start believing God is leading me. I'm not a lost puppy. I'm a son of God led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Some of you are like, no, I'm a lost puppy. Come and get set free of your lost puppyhood in a minute. Come on, I'll finish with this today. But we learn to move in the gifts. And I don't like this, but it's true. We learn to move in the gifts by taking risk, by being willing to get it wrong. I've shared this story here a few times ago, but when I was about 19, I was a full-time evangelist in the UK, and there was a man there, he's a friend of mine today, he really moved in the gift of the word of knowledge and the gifts of healings. And I grew up in a church that believed in word of knowledge. I'd never seen anybody move in the word of knowledge. And I wanted to learn from this man. So I remember getting on a bus, like the British equivalent of a Greyhound bus, going all the way down to Weston-super-Mare, a little town in the south of England, to go to a conference. And I really wanted to learn from this guy about how to move in the word of knowledge. And the guy taught for 2 days, didn't mention it once. So in the end, I plucked up my courage on the Sunday, the last day, when he was having a meal with the speakers, and I went and approached the speaker table. Da-da-da-da. And I kind of tapped on his shoulder, and he like looked at me, yeah? And I said, would you mind teaching? Like, have you got any, could you help me? I want to learn how to move in the word of knowledge. Could you maybe teach a little bit in your next session on that, whatever? And this guy looked at me and he smiled and he looked at the other preachers and he said, yeah, of course. Hallelujah. I went and I pre-ordered the tape. If you don't know what a tape is, ask me afterwards. I was so excited. This guy is going to teach on the word of knowledge just for me. And then the guy preached a wonderful sermon, nothing about the word of knowledge. Preached for an hour and a half, didn't mention it once. I was really bummed. I wanted a refund for the tape. They were expensive in those days. And then the guy preached a wonderful sermon, prayed, and then he said, oh, before we go, I want to do one last thing. And he said, there's a young man of God here called Graham, and pointed at me. I'm like, no, I want you to teach. And he said, I'm about to teach. And he said, Graham, I want you to come forward. And I'm there with my notepad and pen on the front row because I want to learn. And he said, Graham, this is how you learn? I said, no, I want a tape and notes. And he dragged me forward, and I'm looking at 500 people in this conference, and he said, right, Graham's going to learn how to move in the word of knowledge. And I'm going, no, no. This is not, you tricked me. I literally said, I have the cassette tape of this somewhere. I said to the guy, you tricked me? And he said, yes. And the guy then turned to the church, the conference, and he said, I'm going to pray, and Jesus' Holy Spirit is going to give Graham a word of knowledge. And I'm like, oh my God. And he prayed, and he said, right, Graham, what do you hear? And I said, nothing. And he said, just shut up. He said, just listen. He said, a tiny little thought will come to you, a little picture or something. And then I suddenly had the idea like a knee, you know, somebody's knee. And I said, a knee problem. And I was like, great, and we're done. And he kind of grabbed me and pulled me back. And he said, that's awesome. You got a word of knowledge, a knee problem. But then he put his arm around me. He said, there are 500 people here. He's like, of course there's a knee problem. And then he said, Graham, close your eyes. And he said, Jesus is going to show you a picture of that leg. And he said, Graham, you're only a teenager, but actually men's legs and women's legs look a little different. I don't think that thought had ever occurred to me, but thank God it's true. And he said, Graham, if it's a big, stout, hairy leg, it might be a man. He said, I want you to close your eyes and look, and God's going to show you the leg with the knee. And I'm looking, and after a while, it's a man's leg. And he said, great, we're doing awesome. We just divided the room by 50%. And then I want to go back. He won't let me. And there are like today, there are two sections in this church. There are about four sections in the building we were in. He said, Graham, what I want you to do, he said, I want you to quietly worship the Lord and just start looking, section one, section two, section three, just keep looking backwards and forwards. And he said, Graham, the shalom, the peace in you, you're going to feel more peace when you're looking in one area than you do in the others. And he said, I know it's subjective. It's not like God's going to say, it's over here. But if you'll keep looking, you'll let the peace of God be the umpire, the arbiter, Colossians 3:15. Let it be the decider. And as I looked, suddenly it's like I felt, yeah, there's more peace over here. And he said, great, so we're looking for a man with a knee problem over here. And then he said, Graham, do the same thing, the front, the middle, the back. Where's your peace? It was the middle. And then he said, divide that thing. He said, after 500 people, we end up with about three men. And then he said, the guy, his name is Ian, said, right, which of you three men has a knee problem? And I'm like, none of them. And one guy said, it's me. And the guy came forward, and he said, I'll never forget, I've still got this cassette tape. The guy is whispering, he had a time mic on, so it's recorded. He whispered, he said, Graham, don't pray for him. Just shut up. Don't, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, just all the religious. He said, I want you to look at him. And from your innermost being, God's going to release like a word, be healed. And he said, when you're ready, speak that word out. And I just stood there, and suddenly it was like speaking in tongues in English. You know, I suddenly popped, be healed. The guy flew. I mean, got shot about 10 yards back, crashed into a bunch of chairs. Gets completely healed, running about the building. The very last thing, and I want you to hear this, guys, because again, I've got the record. The guy whispered in my ear, quickly, give God the glory. don't touch the glory. Because I'm this kid watching some guy, like the conference is going crazy and the guy's healed and running, and he's like, don't touch the glory. Give God quickly. God let his glory throw through. Quickly give it back to Jesus. And he like led me in a prayer. Lord, we give you the praise, the glory. We just humble ourselves. Come on, how do you... Here's the point. We won't move in the gifts of the Spirit unless we're willing to look stupid. Unless we're willing to have a go. Unless we're willing to... Our flesh is okay getting it wrong at times. I'm not talking about faith in God's word. We need that, but I'm talking about you need to be willing to have a go. We don't learn. You did not learn to ride a bicycle perfectly the first time. Yeah. Church should be a safe place to do crazy things. To move in the Spirit. And every time you step away from leaning on your own understanding, from controlling everything, and start following the leading of the Spirit, your flesh isn't going to like it. And God calls us to be a supernatural people who are not confident in ourselves, but we're confident in God. And when you do what God calls you to do, hallelujah, his anointing will flow. Thanks, Jesus. So let me do two quick things here and we'll end the service here. And Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you that you want even this church to step into a new realm of the gifts of your Spirit. Lord, I am greedy for more of that in the house and outside of the house. We want those things every day. Lord, Amy wants too many testimonies. Stop the testimonies. Too many, you know, just... Lord, we just want to be a supernatural people. Lord, we want to make our friends nervous. Yeah. Lord, I pray everywhere we go through love and the gifts and the manifestations of your Spirit, you'll break through the unbelief that is in America in 2023. Yeah, through intellectualism. Lord, that you'll show yourself real and powerful, that you'll heal, you'll manifest your love. You'll break into lives and show your glory. And Lord, even by faith, we give you the glory. Lord, I thank you in a few moments, you're going to heal people here. You're going to set people free. Thank you, Jesus, for the things you're going to do. Thank you, Lord, if people have never been filled with the Spirit, they're going to receive today. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Your power is here to straighten limbs today. Come on, if you've got crooked bones in your body, God's power is here to straighten them out today. There's a person here, you've got like a blocked artery that you know about that's causing your problem, and the Lord's here to unblock, unclog that artery today, and yeah, to free that flow of blood within you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a person here, you've had an operation. I see literally like a cut or like a scar in your torso, but like the lower part of that, and that's still causing you some problem in some way. The Lord wants to heal you of that today. Thank you, Jesus. There are people here with deafness and tinnitus. Jesus wants to heal you in 2 or 3 minutes' time. Let faith arise. So, Lord, we thank you. We're desirous of your gifts. We desire to see more of you, to see these things flow in and flow through us everywhere we go. Here am I, Lord, send me. We make ourselves available to you. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, guys, just real quick, and I just want to honor the Lord by doing this. I want to ask if there's anybody in the room who's never made Jesus the Lord, the Savior, the center, the only hope of their lives. I'm not asking if you believe in God. You can believe in God, but not know him. I'm not asking if you're a good person or bad person. I'm not asking you if you have a church background. I'm asking you if you've been born again. If you know that you know that you know that you know Jesus. John says in 1 John 5 verse 12, we know that we have passed from death to life. If you're here today and you're not sure, you don't have that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. You can step from darkness into life today. It's not about joining this church or any other church. It's about joining his church. So real quick, just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no pressure, no gimmick here, but if you're in the room and you're not sure, that you have met Jesus. I grew up in a Christian home. My grandfather was in the Welsh revival. But for me, at age 14, I suddenly realized I knew about God, but I wasn't born again. If that's you today, your heart's probably beating right now. You're probably, ooh, that could be me. If that's you, don't walk out of this room. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow, another day. Today is the day of salvation. And while nobody's looking around the room, no pressure, if you want to take that decision and say yes to Jesus, I just want you to raise your hand up right now, all over the room, while nobody's looking. If you want to take that step, say, Graham, pray for me. I want to meet Jesus. Anybody before we move on? One last time. I really feel there's somebody here today. Jesus has already said yes to you. He knocks at the door of your heart, but he won't break the door down. You've got to invite him in. One last time before we move on. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, we bless you. Lord, just continue your work in us. Lord, I thank you that he who began a good work in us will bring it to that day. The Lord will perfect that which concerns us. Thank you for your keeping power in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, we have soup and coffee downstairs. I'm going to stay here with the altar team. I'd love to pray. We're going to pray today for anything that needs prayer. But if you're here and you've never experienced those gifts of the Spirit, or you want more of them in your life, I encourage you to come forward in a moment, and we'd love to pray for you and lay hands on you. And I believe by impartation, you can catch maybe some of those gifts you've never moved in today. Boom. But do stay and have some fellowship. We love you. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.